But I invite you now to set your thoughts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and to seek Him today, to turn your eyes upon Him. For He is life, He is our joy, and He is our truth. So let us prepare our hearts now for worship.
Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10. That's found on page 484 in your pew Bible. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, please join me in hymn 174 in your hymn book, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Sending your Son and paving the way for our lives to be set free through Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you for what this day stands for, the beginning of Holy Week, the start of the journey towards the power of the cross, the victory of the resurrection, and the rich truth that Jesus truly is our King of Kings. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We give you praise and honor, for your ways are righteous and true. We give you worship, for you are holy and just. We will declare that your love stands firm forever, for your loving kindness endures forever. Thank you that your ways are far greater than our ways, your thoughts far deeper than our thoughts. Thank you that you had a plan to redeem. Thank you that you make all things new. Thank you that your face is towards the righteous, and you hear our prayers and know our hearts. Help us to stay strong and true to you. Help us not to follow after the voice of the crowds, but to press in close to you, to hear your whispers, and seek after you alone. We praise you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you that you reign supreme, and we are more than conquerors through the gift of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Teacher from Nazareth was going to be there, the one that there was wild speculation. Is this the Messiah? Is this the one who is going to deliver us from the yoke of Rome and reestablish us as chief among the nations? Is this the time that God is going to do his mighty works? And of course, the people were deeply confused and disappointed as they saw this one that they were anxiously awaiting for, taken out after having been flogged and hung on the cross at Golgotha. But Jesus came into the city, receiving the praises of the people. And he said the very rocks would cry out if these people were constrained. And it is sort of a foreshadowing of the great return of Jesus one day on the clouds, when he shall indeed come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take his throne and to reign over the nations. But before he could do that, he needed to complete the great mission that his Father had given him to do. Because he had come into this world not to be a martyr, but to be a sacrifice. He came on the great mission to lay down his life for you and me. And by that, he was accomplishing our salvation. He was providing the only way whereby we could be brought back into fellowship with the living God, made right within through the cleansing of our sins. And through that, Jesus was defeating the power of evil in this world, defeating the devil, and he was establishing his kingdom reign through his sufferings and resurrection. So we want to, today we don't have time to read the whole story, but we can just remember the events. And if you don't know the events well, I encourage you to go to any one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and to read the Passion narrative beginning on Palm Sunday, the entry into Jerusalem, and read through the crucifixion and to the resurrection. That would be a wonderful activity for you this week in your devotional reading. But today we stand first at the side of the road, worshiping Jesus, our Savior, our King, and proclaiming Him to be such. But we know that from there He went up to the temple and cleansed the temple, and He would go out at night, as was His custom, to the garden outside the city, and He would spend time there in prayer with His disciples. And He was teaching day by day in the temple precinct. And then there came that night when He asked His disciples to prepare the Passover meal. And they ate together in that upper room. You'll recall Jesus reclining with His disciples around a low table. And Jesus took the elements of that Passover meal and gave them new meaning and spoke of the cup as being the cup of His blood and of a new covenant that God was making with His people, a new promise, a new relationship that was being established through Christ's death and resurrection. And Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper, this meal of remembrance and this means of grace for us. And He took the bread and He broke it. But at that meal, He talked about the betrayal of Judas. And that night, He and His disciples went up to the garden and were praying, and Jesus was in great anguish because He knew He had come into Jerusalem for this moment. As I said, He was no martyr taken against His will. He was on a mission, and He knew that His mission included death and resurrection. And He knew that death was not merely a physical death, but it was the taking upon Himself the punishment of a just God, a holy God, for the sins of His people. And as Jesus experienced in the garden the anguish of looking ahead into that cauldron of suffering, as He saw the cup that was there for Him, He was filled with such anguish that we read that He was sweating great drops of blood as He cried out to His Father. And in His humanity, in His love for His people, He wanted to be able to remain. And yet, in obedience to His Father, He said, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." And so, after He had gone to His disciples who were falling asleep, though He had warned them to stay awake and to pray that they would not enter into temptation, there comes Judas, leading a group of officials from the temple and also a troop of soldiers from the Roman garrison. And the scribes and the Pharisees had been looking for an opportunity to arrest Jesus away from the crowds because He was so wildly popular. And so when Judas came and said, "I know how you can get Him," he goes to this lonely place and you can capture Him there. And so Judas comes and seeks to betray Jesus with a kiss, as if everything is fine. And Jesus is then taken, and you remember the story of Him going first to the officials of the temple, to Caiaphas, and then eventually to Pilate. And we're going to pick up the story today in the middle of John's Passion narrative, beginning at the 19th chapter of John, where Jesus is in the midst of His interrogation by Pilate, and Pilate is finding nothing wrong with Jesus. And they are having an intriguing discussion that is only recorded in the Gospel of John for us. But I want to just remind us as we begin to meditate today that this is a precious gift that we can be here and have this time to to hear God's word, to linger together, and to gaze upon our suffering Savior and his tremendous love for us. And I want to remind us just briefly of three things as we engage in this today. First of all, remember who this was and is. This man who is going through these sufferings was the God-man. He is the eternal Son of the Father, beloved of the Father from all eternity, the Word made flesh, who came into this world for you and me. So remember who he is as we read through these accounts. And the incomprehensible, amazing reality that this is God taking this place for you and for me, going through this humiliation and this suffering for you and for me. And then remember why he did it. And as I said earlier, it was not by chance. It was not merely that it was some tragic occurrence or injustice or that he was a martyr suffering for his faith. No, he came on a mission. He came with a purpose to lay down his life for you and for me. And he had you in his heart. He had me in his heart. And so we want to know what he was about in his suffering and death, that he was making the way back to God for us, and that he was making the way for the restoration of the entire cosmos, the cleansing of sin, the defeat of darkness and the powers of evil, an entirely new creation where the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And finally, remember that indeed, this story is yours. Remember not only what he did, but why he did it. Why did God go to such lengths? For God so loved the world. And that's not the world in its bigness, but the world in its foulness and evil and rebellion. God so loved the world that he gave up his one and only dear, precious, eternal Son, that whoever believes, trusts in him will not perish, will not suffer judgment, will not suffer eternal separation from God, but will receive the life of the age to come, eternal life. So let's engage our imaginations now as we hear these readings. Just shut your eyes. If you want to follow along in the scripture beginning in John 19, you can do that. But allow your imagination to envision. Allow yourself to be there and to share in these events. And most of all, through the times of meditation and quiet, don't just sit passive. But engage yourself, engage your heart in seeking Jesus today, in meeting with him. Let this Holy Week be a time for you to know your Savior in a new and living way. He desires to meet with you, to renew your life, to embrace you, to fill you with joy. So let your prayers be focused today on him. See him with eyes of faith. Embrace him with hearts of love. Let us now join together in meditating on these things as the handbells come forward to play the great hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This? Thank you.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat in a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Turn in your hymnal now to hymn number 175.
Crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home.
Thank you. my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws, for you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion.
Thank you. After this, Jesus said, knowing that all was finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He saw it was borne witness, his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as if the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, everyone, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered him, that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken forever of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man his death, although he had done no violence. And there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.
Gathered together in your love, gathered at the foot of the cross, to behold such wondrous love, to remember what you have accomplished for us and for this entire world at such great cost. Our Lord, we adore you. We open our hearts to you and pour forth all of our love. O God, we are humbled to recognize what the King of the universe has gone through for us who are so undeserving. We stand amazed, Lord Christ, as you are seated above with the nail prints in your hands, risen in a new and glorified body, and anxiously awaiting the day when you will come back and we will be risen with you and receive our inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth. How we worship you and give thanks to you for all that you have done for us, Lord Christ. And Father, for your great love in having made this plan before the beginning of time, and having selected each of us who are here who trust in the Lord to be recipients of this great love that has totally rocked our world and changed our lives and filled us with love and with hope and has given meaning back to life for us. We rejoice in your precious presence, Holy Spirit, your work within us to bring all these things alive to us, to cause our hearts to be opened and to be filled this day with the sweetness of the presence of our Lord, and to have fellowship with him and with one another. How we thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation. And we pray that through the course of this coming week, we might each take an opportunity of this time of year to reflect, to seek you, to meditate on your word, to repent of sin in our lives, to renew ourselves in our commitment to be your followers, to carry your love to others in a special way this week. We ask you to be gracious to us as your people and as a church, and to meet us in this time, and to renew us, Lord God, in our sense of mission, in our realization of why we are here as your disciples, to bring this good news of salvation to a needy world of darkness. The light has come, and you have made us in Christ to be the light of the world. So help us to shine brightly, Lord God, in this dark time. Our Father, we love you. Our Savior, we adore you. Our Spirit, we rejoice in you. We pray all these things to the glory of your name. Amen.
Thank you.
worship today, I invite you to leave silently our worship today and to go forth for a week of meditation, a week of seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will gather again on Easter morn to celebrate and rejoice together in Christ's victory. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.